Ready to go? All right, it looks like we have everybody back, so we are going to get started with public testimony. And I probably should mention this before the break, but it's normally the commission calls public testimony by whether or not you support, oppose, or have no position on the project. I think today we're going to take public testimony and call individuals from the public in the order that they called in today. So the first name I have on my list is Pete Fagerbakke, and while we're dialing the number, I'll note that the second person on the list today is Karen Smith.
Hello.
Hi, is this Pete Fagerbakke?
Yes, speaking.
Hi, this is Judge Hogan. I am the hearing officer for today's Public Service Commission, and you are the first name on the list to provide public testimony today.
Oh, is it just starting on the testimony now?
Yes. Yep, we're just starting with public testimony.
Oh, okay. I thought Dave was all over with. I hadn't gotten a call.
Before, are you still wishing to provide testimony?
Yes. It will only take like a minute.
All right. Before you testify, I am required by law to advise you on the maximum penalty for perjury in the state of North Dakota. Perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000. Maximum 5 years imprisonment or both. Do you understand what perjury is?
Oh, I kind of think so. You mean that's telling a false truth?
Correct. So being advised on the penalties for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case today?
Oh, definitely.
All right.
But I suppose, you know, everybody has their facts and figures, and they can be disputed. I noticed that the last time they weren't always so truthful. So,
sure. So, can you spell your last name for us?
Okay, it is Fagerbakke, and Pete is my nickname. So, Dwight is my given name.
Okay. D W I G H T.
D-W-I-G-H-T, correct.
Okay. And then can you spell Fagerbakke for us?
F-A-G-E-R-B-A-K-K-E.
And are you a landowner involved?
Yes, I am a landowner and I farm, and my land is actually, I do not live within I don't know what they call the borders of that. They got a name for it. I do not reside within the border of it, but I do farm, and I actually would be a beneficiary of the wind farm if it would come to fruition.
Can you tell us where your farmland is located? Do you have the section township range?
Oh, harmonious it's like in section 9 and 10 and 26. So it'd be Keller and in Keller Township, section 26, 162.95, and section 35.
And
that would be Keller. And then in Harmonious Township, it would be like, gosh, I hope I don't get this wrong. Would I be perjuring myself if I told you the wrong section?
No, you will not. give us your what you believe it is.
I believe section 9.
Okay. And which part of the project is your land involved in? Is it the wind farm or the transmission line?
It would be the wind farm.
Okay.
It would be the far western edge of the wind farm, or towards the west edge of the wind farm. And the legal for the Section 9 would be 161.95. Or 161.95.
All right. Well, thank you. Those were my preliminary questions that I wanted to ask you so that the commissioners knew where your property was. So go ahead and you can provide your testimony now.
Is this live then, or is this?
Yep. The commissioners are listening and all the parties are listening, and anybody that's viewing this via the website or on the telephone can hear you as well.
You mean even when you were getting my name?
Correct.
Okay. So we're ready to go?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. Well, hello, everybody. This is my name is Dwight Pete Fagerbakke. I farm and I reside in Noonan, and I farm in the territory that is covered by under the wind farm. So I'll just have to start out with, did you hear the one about the wind turbine technician? He drove up to the tower with the blades standing still, and after working on it for a couple hours, he came up with a solution. Easy fix. It was a breeze. Hope everybody got the joke. Now into the testimony part. NextEra Energy has about 15,000 megawatts of wind energy and 9,700 wind turbines in the U.S. and Canada. NextEra has invested $2.7 billion in North Dakota, and they have 15 operating wind projects in North Dakota. Moving on to the second point here, wind energy and farming are very compatible. The roads that they build are real low profile, so we can cross them with machinery, and we are able to farm around the base of the tower with very little loss of acreage. Moving on, it'd be great for the local economy. First 30 years, $14 million into the local school districts, $1.5 million into fire and ambulance districts, and will add high-paying jobs in the area. And these figures are compiled by the Divide Wind Project, is where I pulled them figures from. The Northern Divide will definitely have a positive economic impact on Burke County, adding jobs, tax revenue, and millions of into the property owners' payments. And just to finish up here, where we farm is on the western edge of the project, which is very close to Divide County. I was kind of counting up young farmers in the area, young families, not necessarily farmers, but young families. And it will help out 7 young families indirectly or directly, either through property ownership or through family farms. So with that, I'd like to conclude, and thanks for hearing me out, and everybody stay safe.
All right, stay on the line, Mr. Fagerbakke. There may be some questions for you, but before I ask for questions, I forgot to ask what your residential address is.
It is Box 125, Noonan, North Dakota, 58765.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Fury, did you have any questions for Mr. Fagerbakke?
I don't. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Schmidt, do you have any questions?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Mr. Lean, did you have any questions?
Any questions? No questions.
Mr. Peranis, did you have any questions?
Yes, did you have any questions?
No, Your Honor.
Commissioner Fedorchuk, do you have any questions? I think you're on mute.
Okay, now can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. Thank you, Mr. Egerbakke. You're one of the first people that's ever told a joke at the start of their testimony. And at this time of the day, we can all use a joke. So thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate you taking the time to give us your input and your to offer your support for the project. And I don't have any questions about that, but I do appreciate you being involved. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I figured a wind turbine joke was appropriate.
Commissioner Crotchis, do you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it.
Commissioner Chrisman, do you have any questions?
Yes, Your Honor. And Pete, how far away is Noonan from the closest of this wind farm?
From the closest wind farm?
From the closest you understand these turbines will be.
Oh, where my our farm, where we spend most of our time, and will be a mile and a quarter. And I actually moved off the farm, and I reside in Noonan. I have a young farmer living there on our farm. So we're roughly, I'd say a mile and an eighth from, and depends upon where they place the turbine, probably a mile and a half from the nearest turbine.
But your home at Noonan.
Just
so
on a
far,
side right? On a side note, I can sit on the hill at night on this proposed, on the land that this our daytime or mostly it shows up at night if I'm harvesting or combat or seeding, and I can watch the other wind farm that's south of us, all the lights flashing. That's the Lindahl, the one that's south of us.
But how far away is Noonan?
Get a visual on that one from where this one is proposed.
How far away is Noonan from your farm?
I'm 6 miles. Probably 6 miles as the crow flies, and 7 by road.
Okay, thank you. No other questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Fagerbakke.
Oh, you're welcome.
We're going to call the next person, okay?
Okay. Thanks for your time.
You bet. Thank you. Bye. Goodbye.
Bye.
So the next name I have on the list is Karen Smith. And I'll just note as we dial her number that the person on the list after that is Tammy Lucy.
Okay, here I is.
Hi, is this Karen Smith?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Ms. Smith. This is Judge Hogan, and I'm the hearing officer for the Public Service Commission hearing this afternoon.
I've been listening to you.
All right, great. Before I have you testify today, I'm sure you've heard, I am required by law to advise you on the penalties for perjury in the state of North Dakota. Perjury is a Class C felony punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Do you understand what perjury is?
Yes, I do.
And being advised on the penalties of perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case today?
Yes, I do.
All right. And can I get your address for you?
8210 88th Street, Northwest, Kenmare, 58. 7-4-6.
All right. And are you a landowner?
Yes, I am.
All right. And can you tell us approximately or by section township range where your lands are located?
My lands are located in Section 6 and Section 8 and Section 9, parts of it around 610 acres of Township 160, Range 91.
All right. And is your property involved in the wind farm or the transmission line?
No, I'm way about 11, 12, 13 miles east of the east boundary of the Northern Divide.
Okay. All right. Those were my preliminary questions for you, so you can go ahead and proceed with your testimony.
Okay. I have something written up here, so I'm going to proceed. I am Karen Smith, a permanent resident of Burke County, who has lived here since 1977. I have a BS from Michigan State University and manage Lostwood National Wildlife Refuge as an employee of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service from 1977 to 2002, at which time I retired. I have gained a lot of knowledge about the Coteau's natural resources over the 43 years I have worked and lived here. I have completed a 24-page report that I wrote for the PSC supported by the Coteau Preservation Alliance and whom have also reviewed this report. The report emphasizes the adverse effects to the natural resources at the location of those proposed Northern Divide Wind Project. I will be sending this report to ndpsc@nd.gov during the week of the 20th of April, and that's based upon your April 9th, 2020 letter. Northern Divide Wind's project location remains on the Coteau, an area that has significant wildlife values that are not replaceable by any mitigation measures. The project remains on the same land feature that was denied by PSC last year in a wind project called Burke Wind. Because of adverse effects to the natural resources, our 24-page report emphasizes impacts to the natural resources through construction of roads, collection lines, turbines, and their pads. We address the importance of the Coteau as a major migration route for many avian species' spring and fall migrations by presenting publications that shows how specific groups of species will be adversely affected by wind projects in the wrong location. We also provide proof of the variety of species that migrate through the Coteau. The project area still remains in the whooping crane and piping plover migration routes, endangered and threatened species respectively. And incidentally, whooping cranes do use cropland for feeding both spring and fall. We are also concerned about where the spent wind blades will be disposed, at the turbine sites, into grasslands, wetlands, croplands, or where. There is a significant potential for additional adverse effects to natural resources wherever these 222 blades are deposited. The Northern Divide Wind Plans do not address this and should be part of the plan, and most certainly within the permitting process. The Northern Divide Wind LLC wind project is not a green wind proposal because it will adversely affect natural resources. The Coteau is a high-valued wildlife impact area that needs avoided by commercial wind companies. The Coteau Preservation Alliance and myself oppose the Northern Divide Wind LLC's project. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Next, we're going to go through questions for you. Ms. Fury, do you have any questions for Ms. Smith?
I do, Your Honor. Can you hear me?
Yep. Go ahead.
Wonderful. Hi, Ms. Smith. This is Casey Fury.
Hello.
Have you had a chance to review the application materials that Northern Divide Wind submitted to the commission as well as their supplemental filings?
Yes.
And you're aware of then correspondence between North Dakota Game and Fish and Northern Divide Wind regarding various wildlife studies that were done with respect to the projects and conclusions regarding the likelihood of any potential impacts, correct?
No, I have not studied those.
Okay. But you did say that you reviewed the application?
Yes, but I didn't study it in depth like you would if I worked for you.
And just so you're aware, those the correspondence between North Dakota Game and Fish and Northern Divide Wind is located in that application. We've also included additional correspondence that's located in that docket. And so I just want to briefly address some points. You've just commented that you believe that the projects will pose, or they have the likelihood to cause significant adverse impacts. And I'm curious, that is a different conclusion than North Dakota Game and Fish has reached with respect to this project. And so, you know, I think it would be kind of paramount for you to review that correspondence and understand the wildlife agency's position with respect to their conclusion. And so I guess my question to you is, why do you opine that you believe that there will be significant adverse impacts to wildlife and native habitat when that is not the conclusion that North Dakota Game and Fish has reached with respect to this project?
Well, the basic primary difference is that no one seems to be addressing the impact upon the migrating birds that come through this area. And this 24-page report addresses three different publications that identify the height of the various species that migrate through, and the height of raptors and a lot of wetland-associated birds are at the height that these wind turbines can adversely affect as they migrate north and south. And that's the point that we're trying to make that so far North Dakota Game and Fish and Fish and Wildlife Service have not made.
Ms. Smith, can you please identify what studies you've reviewed with respect to this project?
Yes, hold on a second.
And I'm referencing specifically that have been filed on behalf of Northern Divide Wind in the docket.
I haven't filed this yet.
I'm sorry?
I haven't submitted our report yet.
I understand that. I guess my question is, have you reviewed any of the wildlife reports that Northern Divide Wind has submitted in the project docket?
No.
Okay. So then you really wouldn't be able to speak whether or not impacts upon migrating birds have been evaluated with respect to this project, correct?
That would be correct.
Okay. Nothing further. Thank you.
Mr. Schmidt, did you have any questions for Ms. Smith?
I do, Your Honor. Ms. Smith, I remember your testimony from the last hearing, and I remember you explained your educational background to us in fairly extensive detail last time. And I know this time you said that you earned your BS from Michigan State. Was there any other education that you had obtained that would be relevant to your opinion?
Well, I've managed Lostwood National Wildlife Refuge from 1977 to 2002, and I got tremendous education and involved in extensive amount of publications with that refuge. In fact, we have just completed a little over 200-page report about how the refuge was managed over a 20-plus year period, and that's now available online.
And you were involved in the drafting of that report?
I wrote it.
Yeah. What was the name of that report?
Oh, boy. I didn't pull that one up. Hold on a second. Getting closer. It's a big report. A story of dedication returning the northern mixed grass prairie to Lostwood.
Now, during your testimony, you made a comment that there were 222 blades that would be in this project. And doing the quick math, were you just assuming it's three blades per turbine? Is that how
Correct.
You came up with that number? Okay. You indicated that you're going to be submitting a report, which I know you did on the previous project, and it's going to be supported by, was it three different publications?
Yes.
Are those publications going to be attached to that report?
The publications are not, but the references are.
Okay. And I remember from last year, you testified in opposition to the Berkwin project. And I know that there's been revisions to the previous project area. I guess my question is, do the revisions to this project change your view at all as to whether this is has a negative impact on wildlife?
There's less negative to the direct resources of native grassland, yes, beyond a shadow of a doubt. There is still some adverse effect anytime you have native prairie and you have an adjacent road or a nearby turbine, there's going to be some adverse effects to what areas there. There's lots of things that, like, for example, sharptail dancing grounds can be found on cropland. If there's any kind of nesting habitat anywhere near, sharptails will establish a dancing ground, oftentimes on an old ground that was destroyed when it was cropped from what it used to be. But the main problem that I'm concerned about, as well as other people, is that as raptors and water-dependent birds migrate through this area, and we have proof of how many different species are migrating through this area from the Wildwood Park eBird site, and that's in the 24-page report, the summary of that. These birds are coming up off the escarpment and directly into the field because some of the wind turbines are right now on the edge of these wooded draws at the edge of the escarpment.
When you say escarpment, I guess I'm not a biologist. Could you just explain to me what you mean by that?
The escarpment is when the coteau drops off down into the northwestern plains from the glacier. And it's a steep drop. In some parts of the coteau, it's steeper than others. And it's almost like an immediate drop down from the height of the coteau. And oftentimes, from the drop down to the plains, there's all kinds of what we call wooded coulees. And some of these wooded coulees are tremendous attractions for migratory birds to stop through. Oftentimes, warblers, raptors, the whole nine yards. And the Wildwood Park is a site that's viewed by many expert birders in North Dakota. And I went to their site, eBird site, and pulled out their data and put it into the report.
I know you indicated that the new project area has a reduced impact on grasslands. I'm curious as to what your opinion is with the impact that the new project area has on wetlands and the habitat that many birds, I guess waterfowl, would use.
Our connection isn't great, I'm sorry, but there's times when I have a little bit hard time hearing you. Your question was whether the current project will affect the wetlands in the project area?
Yeah, I'm curious as to what your opinion is with respect to the wetland habitat, how this new project layout compares to the Burke project.
Well, so many of these wetlands and what grasslands that are there, the only disturbance that they have by vehicles or people is but when the farmer goes out and gets his crop or his hayland or something like that, or checking his livestock. Now we're going to have all kinds of vehicles moving back and forth on these roads, oftentimes around wetlands and right adjacent to them. There's all kinds of disturbance that occurs with this, as any person who understands wildlife, they avoid that kind of disturbance as much as they can, particularly certain other species that are sensitive to it. So, yeah, there's going to be adverse effects. Anytime you put any kind of more people into something like this, it affects wildlife, and it's through disturbance.
Ms. Smith, I haven't seen your report, but I certainly will read it once we get it. But in your report, do you make any estimates as to what the impact will be on both grassland birds and waterfowl as a result of the new project?
No, there's no way that I can do that because I don't have the actual numbers from Fish and Wildlife Service, how many duck pairs are through there, how many. And the thing of it is, too, is that some of the other water birds, like American bittern, black-crowned night heron, they fluctuate from year to year based upon availability of water conditions and prey.
Ms. Smith, I don't have any further questions for you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Lean, did you have any questions?
No questions, Your Honor.
All right. Commissioner Fedorchuk, do you have any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Smith. I, too, remember your testimony from the last time and your report. Is the report you're sending a different one from the one that you provided at the last hearing, or is it this? Is it the similar material or the same material?
There's additional material.
Additional material as it relates to this revised project?
Yes.
Okay. And then were you aware of the consultation that was going on between the company and the wildlife agencies, and did you know that they had changed their plans to address a lot of their concerns, or are you just now learning that?
I'm more or less just now learning of it. I had heard rumor that something had transpired, but I had no knowledge of what was going on and was never contacted by anybody about it.
Sure. Well, it's pretty substantial, the number of things that have changed. And so I guess while you send us that report, I'd be interested in you at least. Also, if you have time, looking at some of the kind of conclusion letters between them, Game and Fish, you don't have to go into a lot of detail, but they highlight the things that the significant substantial changes. And then if you see fit to offer us any comments after you've looked at that, I would welcome those. So thank you. Appreciate your time.
Commissioner Crosius, do you have any questions?
Good afternoon, Karen. The questions, I have two that Mr. Schmidt asked, and I think it might be best that I wait to read your report, Karen, the 24-page report, as well as your thoughts on, as Commissioner Fedorchuk alluded to, your thoughts on game and fish analysis, because that I think would be my biggest question.
Could you give me the exact reference numbers at your website that I could get those reports?
I believe
it's... Send them an email too, it doesn't matter, but I don't want to have to spend the time trying to figure out exactly what's what you guys are talking about.
Docket number 20 provides the most recent Game and Fish letter.
Okay, very good.
And that would be on case 19-376.
19-3-76. Please
19-376.
76. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Commissioner Chrisman, did you have any questions?
Yes, Your Honor. Ms. Smith, did you hear Mr. Cameron's testimony earlier today?
I had a hard time losing the site, and then I had Microsoft cut me off for over a half an hour updating my computer, so parts of it I did not hear.
So... you testified at the Birkwind hearing and provided your background information as having expertise and experience in wildlife management as well as living in this particular region of the state. Mr. Cameron, in response to a question from Commissioner Fedorchuk, said that NextEra, after that project was not approved by the commission. The next era met with local officials and other stakeholders to try to address issues from Burke Wind. And I just heard you say that you weren't involved with anything. So just to be clear, you were not one of the stakeholders that they reached out to in working on developing a new project?
Well, the way you worded it, no. But I will say this. Clay Cameron, after one of our public hearings in Bowbells, came up to me after the meeting and asked if I would be interested in joining one other person in North Dakota to communicate with them about how we could make this acceptable to us. And what they offered was that we would not allow NextEra to build any additional turbine fields on the Coteau. And then I looked at Clay and I said, and Clay is, and I have talked a lot before in the past. He says, I never lie to you, Karen. And I says, yes, I know that. And I says, but Clay, I says, if you drop owning this field and another company takes it, does that still apply? He says, no, it will not. But that's the only type of communication I've had with North Dakota Game and Fish and NextEra through Kay Clay Cameron. Clay and I have talked a fair amount over the previous year, but not since this thing was denied this past fall.
Okay, and then one of the things that I've been kind of disappointed here today about is the fact that I at least did not get the pre-filed testimony until today, and it was during the abbreviated testimony that was given orally. Ordinarily, I like pre-filed testimony, but it should be filed much earlier than that. So I just, because of understanding the amount of time and effort that you've put into this issue, as well as the expertise you bring to it, even though you've reviewed the case in the past, there is, I believe now on our website, additional pre-filed testimony from the company witnesses. So I hope you'll take the time to read that, and maybe it causes you to want to make even additional response to the report you've talked about. Finally, I'll just say I look forward to reading your report. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is there any further testimony you'd like to provide today, Ms. Smith?
No, that's it.
All right. Are there any other questions for Ms. Smith?
Your Honor, this is Casey Fury. I guess I would just comment. The last pre-filed testimony that Northern Divide submitted was on April 1st. We have not submitted any subsequent pre-filed testimony since that time.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Fury. All right. Hearing no other questions, thank you for providing testimony today, Ms. Smith, and we're going to hang up now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, the next name I have on my list is Tammy Lucy. And while we're dialing her number, I'll just note that the next name on the list is Lynn Brodahl.
Hello?
Hey, is this Tammy Lucy?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Judge Hogan. I'm the hearing officer for the Public Service Commission hearing today.
Hi.
And we have your name down as somebody that would like to provide public testimony today.
Yes, just my opinion, really.
Okay. Well, before I have you testify, I am required by law to advise you on the maximum penalty for perjury in the state of North Dakota. Perjury is a Class C felony punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Do you understand what perjury is?
Yes, Your Honor.
And being advised on the potential penalties for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case today?
Yes, to the best of my knowledge.
Great. Can I get an address for you?
Yes, it's 8600 County Road 16, Powers Lake, North Dakota, 58773.
And are you a landowner?
Yes.
All right. Can you tell us where your lands are by section, township, range?
Okay. We are in Lucy Township. We have, we own sections or parcel sections of quite a few section numbers. Do you want them?
Yes.
Okay. I'm looking at the atlas because otherwise I don't know. Okay. And like I say, I'm not going to delineate which is partial and which is full or whatever.
But that's fine. Just so we have an idea of where the lands are that you own.
2, 3, 10, 15, 14, 22, 28, 27. Those are the ones I can see for sure off the top of my head.
Okay.
Just glance.
And are your lands involved with the wind farm portion of the project or the transmission line?
Well, it would be the wind farm, even though they're not currently in Lucy Township.
All right. Okay, those are my preliminary questions. Go ahead and you can start with your testimony.
Okay, I just have a little written statement.
Go ahead.
I am Tammy Lucy, Burke County resident and Lucy Township landowner. You, the Public Service Commissioners, unanimously denied NextEra's Burke County Round 1 industrial wind turbine application for many reasons, but as I understand it, one of the main reasons was because the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service recommended that NextEra relocate the project entirely, and the North Dakota Game and Fish made it abundantly clear that NextEra could not have picked a worse spot in the state with respect to potential negative impacts to prairie and wetland wildlife species. Let me repeat that because I think it is very important. NextEra could not have picked a worse spot in the state, and the project should have been relocated in its entirety. So what has changed? The better question is, what hasn't changed? The project was not relocated in its entirety. It is still in the worst spot in the state for industrial wind turbines to be constructed. Just because they moved a few turbines around does not change the fact that they still want to construct industrial wind turbines in a major migration flyway. The birds will be negatively impacted, as will the wildlife, the grasslands, and last but certainly not least, the people. So what has changed? Nothing really. They still could not have picked a worse spot in the state, and they definitely did not move the project in its entirety. If approved, I understand NextEra plans to start constructing these monstrosities in less than a month, probably sooner than that. I find it very interesting that North Dakotans returning to the state are supposed to quarantine for 14 days before going out in public, but that NextEra's workers can come from all over the country without any quarantining whatsoever. This could spread COVID-19 all over Burke County, not to mention the entire state. There are many people who live in this county who are over the age of 65, the most vulnerable age group, and we have now learned that COVID-19 kills everybody from babies and anyone in between. So the decision you make could negatively impact us all for many decades, some of us for the rest of our lives. I ask that you deny NextEra's application for round 2 of industrial wind turbines in Burke County. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lucy. Ms. Fury, do you have any questions for Ms. Lucy?
I don't, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Schmidt, do you have any questions?
I don't, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Lean, do you have any questions?
No questions.
Commissioner Fedorchak, do you have any questions?
Sure. Thank you, Tammy, for your testimony. Have you been listening all day?
I'm on and off. Sometimes it got dropped and, you know, so sometimes it was on, sometimes it wasn't. And I can't say, even when it was up all the time, I didn't listen to everything every minute.
Sure. So have you reviewed any of the information from Game and Fish since the last project was denied and the back and forth with the company and the wildlife agencies?
I listened a little bit when you talked about that, but from my understanding, from what you said, that they didn't definitely make a case to have it there. You gave me the impression that it was, I didn't read it. No, I didn't, to answer your question. But you more gave me the impression that they really didn't say, that they didn't give it a heads up, I guess.
A thumbs up. Yeah. Well, that's, they don't really give like a green light, like, yes, you should go ahead and do this, or, you know, no, you shouldn't. It's an opinion. They basically said that the company is doing wind development responsibly in this project and with their commitments in future projects in North Dakota. So it's a very different response to this project than what they had the last time. So just wanted to point that out because their involvement was critical the last time, as it will be this time as well. But thank you very much for participating today.
But just to add the point on, the project was not relocated in its entirety, and that was the initial recommendation of the Fish and Wildlife. I just want to say that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Crotchis, do you have any questions?
Just one. Good afternoon, Tammy, or maybe I should say good evening at this point. Just a point of clarification, would you have wind turbines on your land, or is your land in proximity or within the footprint?
No, we would not have wind turbines on our land. Well, first of all, we wouldn't want them. And second of all, we're further away from the project. However, my concern is once these wind companies get a stake in any part of the country, they tend to continue to expand and expand and expand. And as you know, as big as they are, even if they're only a few miles, even if they're a few miles away, they're so huge that they're, you know, still in your face. So, but my main concern also is that they will continue to expand if they do get a foothold in.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. No other questions.
Thank you.
Commissioner Chrisman, do you have any questions?
Well, I'm sorry, Tammy, but I'm going to take a moment of your time to step back. I've since been informed that this pre-filed testimony was on our website. I sure never seen it, but if that's the case, I apologize for that earlier comment. But for you, Ms. Lucy, just generally, not each section, but about how far away are you from the closest edges of this project, and which direction?
Okay, we would be east of the project, about, I'm not sure, 7 miles. I'm not good with distances, so I'm not even sure exactly how far.
Okay, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
All right, is there anything else you wanted to provide today, Ms. Lucy?
No, thank you.
All right. Well, we thank you for your time today, and we're going to hang up now.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, the next person on my list is Lynn Brodahl. And as we dial the number, I'll just note that the next person is Alex Brodahl.
Hello.
Hi, is this Lynn Brodahl?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Judge Hogan. I'm the hearing officer for the Public Service Commission hearing today.
I've been listening to the hearing.
All right. I have your name down to provide testimony today. Are you still wishing to provide testimony?
Yes, I do.
All right. Before you testify, I'm required by law to advise you on the maximum penalty for perjury in the state of North Dakota. Perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Do you understand what perjury is?
Yes, I do.
And being advised on the potential penalties for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case today?
Yes, I do.
All right. Can I get an address?
I live at 10131 County Road 6, Columbus, North Dakota.
You said County Road 6?
County Road 6.
Okay, thank you. And are you a landowner?
Yes, I am.
Where is your land located?
Well, we've got various properties. Should I read off? I've got some rented land and some family land. I'm speaking on behalf of my family, who some of them own, and then I rent land. So how do you want to go about that?
Well, if you can just give us a general summary or an approximation of where the land is that you're concerned
sure.
about.
I can sure do that. My farm is a half a mile from the Burke Divide County line. We're right in the middle, not in the middle of the project, right on the west edge of the project. And I'll, in my brief summary, I can explain some things about, but we will have, I either own, my family owns, or we land, and it'll be 24% of the projected towers. The Burke County and Divide County, it'll be our Burke County land at the.
Mr. Brodahl, you're cutting out a little bit. I don't know if you're moving around or something.
No, it's the lovely cell phones in this community.
All right. Do you just want to repeat the back end of what you were saying there?
I know the faster I talk, more information, the more apt to go jarbled it is. So what did you want to know?
You were just cutting out towards the end of what you were saying there.
Well, I own and operate my family and I, 24% of the projected towers that'll be on this project.
Okay. Do you have any lands that are affected by the proposed transmission line?
No.
Okay.
None.
All right. Okay. Go ahead and proceed with your testimony.
Okay. And could you interrupt me if I get choppy and garbled again?
Absolutely.
Oh, I don't. Okay. Here we go. I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to testify in favor of the wind farm project. I will briefly introduce myself. I'm Lynn Brodahl, Columbus, from Keller Township, Burke County, North Dakota. I'm a 64-year-old farmer. My wife and I live in Keller Township, and we own our base farm yard is in Harmonious Township. We live a half a mile east of the Divide County line, and we farm in both counties. I'm an educated business and in trade. I've been involved in local churches, school boards, farm organizations, politics. I've testified in Washington, D.C. twice, and at the state level many times. I've been involved in construction, oil, in the oil field, and here and other places. We've raised 4 kids, and we're happy to have them all living within 5 miles of our house, with the exception of one child who lives 30 miles away. They're all in ag, oil, nursing, teaching, human services, and tourism. My grandparents homesteaded on both sides. Both sides of my grandparents homesteaded here in the early 1900s. Myself and my family will be farming 20% of the land these towers will be on. I will probably see most of them, all from my, of these towers in this project from my house. Now, this is a guess, but most quarters of land in this project, the land up here averages 125 acres tillable. That leaves 20% that's non-tillable. The tower may take up maybe 2% of that quarter. We are getting no return on the 20% of this land we own and farm that is wetlands and non-tillable acreage. So the 2% that the wind farms take up is an insignificant and a minor problem for us in farming versus our wetlands. A little history. I'd like to go back on a little history. My uncle Adolf Brodahl signed a wildlife easement back in the 40s and 50s, 50s and 60s. And that easement, when he signed it, it was a perpetual lifetime easement. The easement is so you can't drain your wetlands, alter your wetlands. It was offered by the wildlife. As he put that easement, he described that easement. He said, I guess it put some shoes on my kid's feet for a little bit. But for the rest of his life, he regretted signing that easement. Now, my dad, Sig Brodahl, on the other hand, chose not to sign the easement. He was able to manage his land as he saw fit. He could manage his wetlands as he would manage something of his own, of private ownership. Now, the Farm Bill of 1984 changed all of that, and the ability to manage a wetland in this area came to a halt. Now, this is, in my opinion, was an abuse of power. As a landowner, I cannot capitalize on the value of 20% of my land. This practice is viewed as a better-for-all policy. All people will benefit from me not draining my wetlands. The problem I see with that is I bear all the costs of such a program. What does this have to do with the wind farm project? Well, if the Public Service Commission looks at my land with its 20% wetlands and takes the side of the bear for all idea, then it is repeating the same abuse that happened twice before in history. If the wildlife thinks that this area is so valuable that it condones a moratorium on personal property rights, then the Wildlife Coalition, with all its money and all its power, should compensate these landowners for this abuse. Therefore, I've urged the Public Service Commission to respect and protect the rights of private property owners. I'll say that within the footprint of this project, and I know this footprint project very well, there is an overwhelming support for this project by the personal property owners that are affected by this project. My family is 100% for this project, and the landowners and the land I farm are 100% in favor of this project. So that's my prepared statement, and I certainly, I have a dog in the fight, and I certainly would be interested in any questions that you have for me.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Brodahl. Ms. Fury, did you have any questions?
No, Your Honor. Thank you for your comments.
Mr. Schmidt, did you have any questions?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Lean, did you have any questions?
No questions, Your Honor.
Commissioner Fedorchuk, do you have any questions?
Good evening, Mr. Brodahl. Thank you for your testimony tonight and for participating in the hearing today and listening. Did you participate in the local permitting hearings?
Yes, yeah, did.
You did. Could you characterize that, them, and what was the rationale for the on the planning and zoning for the folks that opposed it?
I personally believe that it's like a lot of things in this world, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're Republican, whether you're Catholic, whether you're Lutheran, for something that some things drive a person. And I just think you can look at something and some people behold beauty and some people behold something that isn't beautiful. I know these people that were on that committee. I just think that's their opinion, their personal preference. I think that's how it shook out.
Okay. And it looks to me like the county has, the county leadership has discussed this from a planning and zoning standpoint and has some measures in place, which leads me to believe that this is an issue that the elected leaders in your area have considered publicly and taken public input on, and conceivably are reflecting the views of the broader public. Is that an accurate conclusion to reach from what I'm seeing as public action in the by the local officials?
I think, yeah, they've taken, I think they've done their due diligence. I'm not sure what you're asking me.
Well, the county, if, you know, for folks who don't want wind development, the counties can certainly develop setbacks and other requirements that would prohibit wind development. And in this case, you have setbacks, they aren't, and they're being followed, they still allow wind development. So as a regulator on the state level, looking at this from, you know, the criteria that we have, I look at this at the local permitting as a nod from the locals that this is something that the local folks as a whole view fits in your community. Or it could have been rejected. We have different criteria that are in addition to the locals that the companies have to meet, but just from a, you know, does this fit locally, yes or no, your local leaders have already said it does.
That's correct.
Okay. That's it. That's all the questions I have. Thank you, Mr. Bodall.
Commissioner Crotchis, do you have any questions?
I do. Thank you, Your Honor. Good evening, Lynn. Just a question. During the easement process, you have turbines, and I'm assuming, or you would get turbines if this were approved. Close to a quarter of them, are they on tillable land or hay land? They're not on any grassland that you own, correct?
No, they're all on tillable land. And they went out of their way to put it in untillable land, and they've taken into considerations wetlands, and they've done circles from wetlands and circles from farmyards and circles from roads, and it really leaves a small option in an area to meet all those criteria. They've bent over backwards to meet that criteria.
Would your preference have, I think I know the answer to this, but would your preference have been to have those turbines not on the tillable, but on the 20 acres per quarter, I think is what you mentioned, that isn't usable?
Oh, I absolutely. I believe that logic would have put these towers in much better places, but they were hamstringed by all of these criteria of wetlands and setbacks for various reasons. Logic, that's a lots of times government disregards logic, and you have to play within the boundaries that you're given.
And we too have to play within the boundaries that the legislature gives us in terms of what authority we have. We don't create the law. We don't create the.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Go ahead.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Can you repeat your comment, Commissioner?
Yeah, I was just mentioning that we too have to work within the confines of the law as it's laid out by the legislative body, and that drives the process on a number of fronts. It did with the denial of the last permit, and we'll apply the legal standards this time as well. But I do appreciate your time. Thank you.
Commissioner Chrisman, did you have any comments or questions?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think Mr. Rudall has stated his thoughts very well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for sticking with us.
Turn my mic off. Mr. Brodahl, is there anything else you'd like to provide today?
No, thank you very much for this opportunity.
All right, thank you for participating. We're going to hang up now.
Thank you.
Bye. Next person on my list is Alex Brodahl, and as we dial the number, I'll just note that the following person is Donna Olson.
Hello.
Hi, is this Alex Brodahl?
Yes, this is.
Hi, this is Judge Hogan. I'm the hearing officer for the Public Service Commission hearing today.
Hi.
And I have your name down as somebody that would like to provide public testimony today.
Yes, I would like to.
All right. Before you testify, I am required by law to advise you of the maximum penalties for perjury in the state of North Dakota. Perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Do you understand what perjury is?
Yes, I do.
And being advised on the potential penalties for perjury, do you promise to testify truthfully today?
Yes, I do.
All right. Can I get your address?
It is 10364 96th Street Northwest, Noonan, North Dakota, 58765.
All right. And are you a landowner?
Yes, I am.
Can you tell us where the land you own is located?
Yes, my wife and I own in Harmonious Township, Section 12, the west half, and in Section 11, the northeast quarter. And that's, the 16194 Harmonious.
And is that, are those lands part of the wind farm, or are they?
Yes, okay. It is pretty much right in the center of the project, very close.
All right. Go ahead, and you can start with your testimony.
Well, I'll start off that I am obviously in favor of this project. I'm a 29-year-old farmer. I grew up at, the previous caller, Lynn, is my father, and I grew up right on the Burke Divide line, and so I've been here my whole life. I went to college for 4 years and chose to move back, and my wife and I have chose to live here and invest our lives in this community, in this area south of Columbus and south of Noonan. and we've chose to invest in this land for a future, so we can remain living here in this area, and with the idea of farming it and it to get our livelihood off of the land. And this is just another tool to ensure that we can live and work in this area and remain here for our lives. We 3.5 years ago, my wife and I built a house from the the nearest tower will be 1.5 miles east of our house. We live in Divide County, just a little over a mile into Divide County on County Road 6, 96th Street. So we will be able to see many of these towers. And in fact, right now, we can see at night the towers in the project that is down close to Tioga. We can see the lights from our house. And we are surrounded by oil wells and other industries. And we farm around all this stuff. And it is my belief that we bought this land with the idea to make our livelihood. And it's our private property right to decide how that is, how we see fit, and we'd like to continue that. And now on the aspect of wildlife and hunting and wilderness, I am a huge sportsman, avid hunter. I love the outdoors. I've hunted on and snowmobiled and been on and farmed on almost probably every parcel of land in this project through my growing up. And I have two boys of my own. They're 5 months old and 2.5 years old. And I foresee that they will have just as good of hunting and access to everything that I had. And I don't foresee that the wildlife will adjust, in my belief, there, and they will be, I bet, 1 year after these towers are built, there will be deer sleeping underneath them because it's going to lull them to sleep. And you go into big areas, big cities where there's an interstate running through, and there will be wildlife right on the shoulder. I just believe that the animals will adapt, and moreover, I feel that it's my private property right to go after this project and be a part of it. I believe that's all I have to say.
All right, thank you. Ms. Fury, did you have any questions for Mr. Brodahl?
No, I don't, Your Honor. Thank you for your comments.
Mr. Schmidt, do you have any questions?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Lean, did you have any questions?
No questions.
Commissioner Fedorchuk, do you have any questions?
No questions, thank you.
Commissioner Crotchis, do you have any questions?
No questions, thank you, Alex. I appreciate your comments.
Commissioner Chrisman, did you have any questions?
No questions, Alex. Thanks for sticking with us, and good luck with getting the crop in.
Thank you.
All right. Any further comments, Mr. Brodahl?
I'd just like to reiterate that my wife and I are both, we are 29 years old, and we live directly right adjacent to this project. My wife is a nurse at the hospital in Tioga, and we are a young couple. We have two young boys, and we will be here and in this area on this land for hopefully 40, 50 years. And this is something that we have decided we would like to go forward with for the rest of our lives. It's very important to us.
All right. Thank you for your comments today, Mr. Brodahl, and for participating.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to hang up now. Goodbye.
Okay.
The next name I have...
Go ahead. This is Casey Fury. I was just wondering if you have a list or numbers of individuals that plan to provide oral comment, just trying to gauge for timing purposes.
Sure. The next name will be number 6, and I have 12 names total.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You bet. The next name I have on the list is Donna Olson. And as we dial Ms. Olson, I'll just note that the next person on the list is Jay Johnson.
Hello.
Hi, is this Donna Olson?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Judge Hogan. I'm the hearing officer for the Public Service Commission hearing today.
Yes.
And I have your name on my list of people that would like to provide testimony. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Before you testify today, I'm required by law to advise you on the maximum penalties for perjury in the state of North Dakota. Perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Do you understand what perjury is?
Yes.
And being advised on the potential penalties for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case today?
Absolutely.
All right. Can I get an address?
Our mailing address is in Minot. It's 546 28th Avenue, Southwest.
546. Can you repeat that?
Pardon me?
Can you repeat your address? 546
28th Avenue, Southwest, in Minot.
Thank you.
It's a condo.
And are you a landowner?
Yes, we are. My husband and I, Rodney Olson.
Can you describe for us where the lands are that you own?
It's in Least Mountain Township, 161 Range 93. We're on Highway 40.
All right. And is that, are those lands part of the proposed wind farm or part of the proposed transmission line?
Wind farm and operation maintenance.
All right. Okay, go ahead and proceed with your testimony.
Okay, my husband and I have been in favor of the project from the very beginning. Our farm is included in the project, and we are proud to be a part of the future production of clean air electricity. Not only clean air is important to help keep the price, but to keep the price of electricity down. We do not find them unsightly. That's one of the things that somebody said to me. They're ugly. They aren't ugly. During this time of the COVID-19, where companies are closing and workers are furloughed or let go until further notice, and the government is in distress, this company still wants to go through with the wind towers, and that tells us of their good intentions and the importance of wind energy. We firmly believe that our county and state will benefit greatly, and we need your support to get this done. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you. Ms. Fury, do you have any questions?
No questions, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Schmidt, do you have any questions?
No questions, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Lean, do you have any questions?
No questions, Your Honor.
Commissioner Fedorchek, do you have any questions?
No. No questions.
Commissioner Crotchis, do you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you, Donna.
Commissioner Chrisman, do you have any questions?
No questions, but thank you for being with us.
All right. There's no questions for you. Ms. Olson, is there anything else you wanted to provide today?
No, just thank you for listening. And we've been wishing and praying, and God willing, everything works out okay. Okay?
Thank you for your comments and for participating today.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye. Okay. All right, the next name I have is Jay Johnson. While we dial that number, I'll just note that the name after that is Shannon Burrow.
Good afternoon. This is Jay.
Hi, Mr. Johnson. This is Judge Hogan. I'm the hearing officer for the Public Safety Commission, Public Service Commission hearing.
Yes, I've been listening to your hearing.
All right. And if I understand correctly, you submitted some written testimony today as well?
I did.
And you're appearing, or you're providing comments today on behalf of an organization, is that correct?
No, not at all.
I'm
speaking on my own behalf as an advocate for wind energy jobs.
Okay. Well, before you testify, I am required by law to advise you on the maximum penalty for perjury in the state of North Dakota. Perjury is a Class C felony punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Do you understand what perjury is?
I do.
And being advised on the potential penalties for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case today?
I do.
All right. Can I get an address?
1001 9th Street, Langdon, North Dakota. 58249.
You are not a landowner, correct?
I am not.
Okay. All right, go ahead and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you very much for your time, commissioners. I'm speaking to you to ask that you approve the Northern Divide wind site. I'm employed as a wind energy technician instructor at Lake Region State College, and I train wind energy students or students to be wind technicians. And I can tell you that I've seen how wind jobs can change a person's life, as you can guess, right? Any well-paying, solid, stable job is a life-changing event. And wind energy jobs are an incredibly attractive, well-paying, stable career. Which has a certain intangible benefit in these times. And for those reasons, among some others that are out there, I'm asking the commission to approve this project. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Fury, did you have any questions for Mr. Johnson?
No, Your Honor. Thank you for your comments.
Mr. Schmidt, did you have any questions?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Lean, did you have any questions?
No questions, Your Honor.
Commissioner Fedorchak, do you have any questions?
I do not have any questions. Thank you, Mr. Johnson, for participating.
Commissioner Crosius, do you have any questions?
Just one. Jay, did you, Mr. Johnson, did you testify previously? I'm thinking you have at another hearing, or was it the Burke?
That is correct, yes. And my testimony was largely the same. It's I advocate for jobs for my students is really what I'm doing.
Okay, all right, thank you, appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Chrisman, do you have any questions?
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Johnson, how many students graduate per year in this program from Lake Region?
Each year, I'd say it's going to be less than 10. It's a real small program.
And how long is the program? Is it a one-year program or what?
Yeah, we have one-year certificate or a two-year AAS degree. Depends on what the student is seeking. You know, an older student is probably looking to get into the workforce, and maybe a younger student right out of high school would value that time to mature that an extra year in school and seeking a degree would offer.
Sure. And between the two, it's less than 10?
That's right. Yep.
Thank you for your time today, Mr. Johnson.
You're welcome.
Mr. Johnson, did you have any other comments you wanted to provide today?
I do not. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for participating.
You're welcome. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
All right. The next name I have is Shannon Burrow. And while we'll dial the number, I'll just note that the name I have on the list after that is Jeffrey Larson.
Hello.
Hi, is this Shannon Burrow?
Yes, it is. It's Shannon Burrow. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Judge Hogan, and I'm the hearing officer for the Public Service Commission hearing. And I have your name on a list of individuals that want to provide public testimony today. Is that correct?
Yes, please.
All right. Before you testify, I am required by law to advise you on the maximum penalty for perjury in the state of North Dakota. Perjury is a Class C felony punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Do you understand what perjury is?
Yes, ma'am.
And being advised on the potential penalties for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case today?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I get an address?
My mailing address is 9981 98th Street Northwest, Columbus, North Dakota.
And are you a landowner?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Can you tell us where the land you own is located?
Yes. I live on Section 28, 16294 in Keller Township. I also own the other land in Keller Township, northwest of 22, the southeast of 22, and the northwest of 27.
And are those lands part of the proposed wind project or part of the proposed transmission line?
I'm right in the midst of that niche that they were talking about earlier today. I am one that did not sign, so I am surrounded on three sides by the wind turbines.
Okay. Thank you. You can go ahead and proceed with your testimony.
My farmstead is in the niche in the north side of the project. Turbines will be placed west, south, and east of my farmstead. We live along the foothills, which is means we live, there's coulees all around us, with some farmland. The east and west turbines are at the minimum distance from my farmhouse that is allowed by the setback of my home. I'm 63 years old. I'm third generation on the farm. My grandfather homesteaded in 1906. My parents were both born here in Burke County, and so was I. I've lived here all my life. I'm an avid fisherman, hunter, trapper. I have a heart disease and anxiety. Turbines have been shown to increase stress, disturb sleep, with their noise and all concern. And I'm concerned with this may impact my health. I will see them every sunrise and sunset. I already see scars left from the abandoned coal mines because I'm only a mile and a half away from the coal mines. Now I'll be forced to see more unnecessary damage to the land. This will also decrease property values in the future. The way the footprint is set in, most of Northern Divide Wind access roads will run east and west. Now, all the water that drains out of these hills comes from the south to the north. This will affect the watershed. It will change the pattern of the watershed, which could change the natural flow of water. I've asked everyone, including the planning and zoning, I've asked the county commissioners, I've asked NextEra or Northern Wind about going to the Burke County Water Board about these diversion of water. No one would assure me, not the planning and zoning, not the commissioners, nobody would assure me of the diversion of water. I've seen what the diversion does with its oil sites. And not got any response from anybody. Secondly, our township roads, my dad helped make these township roads. They're called muck roads, meaning that they were made up of topsoil piled up to make the roadbeds, not made to handle heavy loads or traffic. Not to mention prairie trails that they've already been on, that is Northern Divide Wind LLC, and wrecked these prairie trails last fall. This project will have a negative effect on the native prairie, which is the dancing grounds for sharp-tailed grouse, and the flight path of whooping cranes, which fly over every year. We look forward to it. They fly over and rest just south of our place, right in the middle of the turbines. They feed here. I'm out and about a lot, so I see the nesting of golden and bald eagles in these foothills. These are just a few of the wildlife that will be impacted. Much of this area contains what we call pothole country, sloughs, which are waterfowl rest and nesting areas. I see it having negative results occur in our future with this project. I urge to deny the Northern Divide LLC project. I rented that state school land in Keller Township, my father did, and I rented it for many years till I retired. That is section 36-162-94, that's state school land. And in Bay Township, which is Wildwood, section 31-162-93, which is Wildwood Park. All that land over there is native property, native land. It's native prairie. You cannot replace the coneflowers, the mayflowers. There's the native grass. There's no way they can bring that back. I guess that's about all I got to say, other than we see geese and ducks and stuff fly over not much higher than our windmill. These turbines are way higher than our windmill. I see nothing but adverse effects of this project. You go just up the hill, not a quarter mile, you're half a mile, and it's one slew after another. As my neighbor stated, there's at least 20%, if not more, of each quarter that has water on it. It cannot not affect these wildlife. Well, I guess that's about what I got to say. I just urge you to vote against this wind project, because there's a reason I didn't sign. I'm right in the middle, or right on the edge, I guess.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bureau. Ms. Fury, do you have any questions?
No, I don't, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Schmidt, did you have any questions?
No questions, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Lean, do you have any questions?
No questions, Your Honor.
Commissioner Fedorchuk, do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions, but I do want to thank you, sir, for taking the time and participating in the hearing today and listening and sharing with us your concerns. Thank you so much.
Commissioner Crotchis, do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions. Thank you for your comments.
Commissioner Chrisman, do you have any questions?
Thank you, too. I didn't quite catch it when the judge said your last name. Could you spell your name so I get it right, please, your last name?
It's pronounced Bureau, just like Federal Bureau of Investigations, but it's spelled B-U-R-A-U.
And help me understand the diversion of water. Is your concern the roads that they'll build that will divert the water, or just help me understand that better?
Okay, when I looked at their map, they don't give us maps, but when I looked at their map at the courthouse in Bowbells, most all their roads that they're putting in to the turbines run east and west. Now, any disturbance of that water running from the south, all our water runs from the south to the north, all the way into Canada to the Souris River, or the Mouse River, as some people know it. I've seen what oil wells do. They always have to get permission from the water board. I just can't see that these east-west roads are not going to divert water and change the flow through the hills here, through these foothills.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That's why it's so valuable always to hear from people who actually live there. Appreciate it.
I'm sorry, sir.
Oh, I just said that that's why it's always so helpful to hear from people who actually live there. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate your time. I've been watching all day, and I know you're as tired as mine, so I'm hoping you can settle this up.
All right. Thank you, and Mr. Biro. Yep, thank you for participating today.
Have a good evening.
Goodbye.
Bye.
All right, next person on my list is Jeffrey Larson, and the person after that is Dennis Haugen. Hi, is this Jeffrey Larson?
Yes.
Hi, this is Judge Haugen. I'm the hearing officer for the Public Service Commission hearing today.
Yes.
And I have you down as somebody that wants to provide public testimony today. Is that correct?
Yeah, I thought, you know, if there was time, I just wanted to make a comment.
Okay, well, before you provide... Before you provide any comments, I do am required by law to advise you on the penalties for perjury in the state of North Dakota. Perjury is a Class C felony punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Understanding the potential penalties for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case today?
Yeah.
All right. And can I get an address?
6568 103rd Avenue Northwest, Tioga, North Dakota.
And are you a landowner?
I am.
All right. And can you tell us where the land you own is located?
I have land in Tioga Township and White Earth Township.
Do you know the section township range?
Section 21, 20, and 28.
All right. And is that part of the wind project? Or?
I have a transmission line that will come through there.
Okay. All right.
Go
ahead and proceed with your testimony.
Well, yeah. I basically wanted to say that I think it is a good project for the area. I think it, I don't have any turbines per se on land, but it's going to add with extra income for farm families that will help kind of keep their operations in the future and pass down to their family. And I think it's, it's an additional income for people that will help when agriculture climate is down as it is now. And I think it'll help, some of the smaller operations. I farm part-time myself, smaller operation. And sometimes I think it's for the smaller operators, it's critical to have something to help back up the make the ends meet on the lean years. So economically, I think it's a positive thing.
All right. Anything further?
That's all I want to say, I think.
Okay, I'm going to ask, or we're going to go around and see if there's any questions for you. Ms.
Sure.
Fury, do you have any questions?
No, Your Honor, I don't. Thank you.
Mr. Schmidt, do you have any questions?
No, I don't. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Lean, do you have any questions?
No questions, Your Honor.
Commissioner Fedorchak, do you have any questions?
I don't. Thank you, Mr. Larson. Appreciate you taking the time
to
give us your thoughts.
Okay. No, thank you for your time.
Commissioner Karashas, do you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you for your comments.
Commissioner Chrisman, do you have any questions?
None, Your Honor, but I appreciate Mr. Larson's input.
Anything further, Mr. Larson?
No, that was the main point I wanted to bring out.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you participating in the hearing today.
Sure. Thank you for contacting me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. The next name I have is Dennis Haugen. And the name after that is Eugene Roller.
Hello.
Hi, is this Dennis Haugen?
Yes.
Hi, this is Judge Hogan. I'm the hearing officer for the Public Service Commission hearing today.
Yes.
And I have your name down to provide testimony today.
Yep.
All right. Before you testify, I'm required by law to advise you on the maximum penalty for perjury in the state of North Dakota. Perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Do you understand what perjury is?
Yes, I do.
And being advised on the potential penalties for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case today?
Yes, I do.
Can I get an address?
930-115 Avenue Southeast, Hannaford, North Dakota.
And are you testifying on your own behalf today or on behalf of an organization?
Both. I'm testifying on behalf of North Dakota Grain Growers Association and as a farmer myself who is a landowner in the Ashtabula Wind Project.
Okay. Do you have lands that are part of this project?
I do not.
Okay. All right, those are, if you want to go ahead and proceed with your testimony, go ahead.
Good afternoon, members of the commission. Dennis Haugen, North Dakota Grain Growers Association. Would like to speak on behalf of our association, which is supporting this project, and as a farmer, landowner, and the Ashtabula Wind Project here in eastern North Dakota. We're 10 years into the project here now, and as a landowner here, I'm very happy with how the wind farm has turned out. I have no qualms at all with any environmental issues or any landowner issues with the wind farm in our area. I'll keep it brief, and environmental issues are also none, and if the commission has any questions for me, I'll be happy to answer.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Haugen. Ms. Fury, did you have any questions?
I don't, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Schmidt, do you have any questions?
No questions.
Mr. Lean, do you have any questions?
No questions, Your Honor.
Commissioner Fedorchak, do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions. Thank you, Mr. Haugen. Appreciate you taking time to participate today.
Thank you.
Commissioner Crosius, do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions. Thank you as well, Mr. Haugen, for your comments today and involvement with North Dakota Grain Growers.
Thank you.
Commissioner Chrisman, do you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you, Mr. Haugen.
All right. Mr. Haugen, is there anything else you wanted to provide today?
I'll keep it brief, and I think everybody's ready to call it a day. You guys have a good one.
All right. Well, thank you for participating.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Next name I have on my list is Eugene Roller, and the name after that is Ivan Harder.
Please enjoy this Verizon ringback tone while your party is reached.
And I've said it before, but I'll say it again, because I've never needed government to hold my hand. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again, because my family's always fought not to save this land and our country.
Hello?
Hi, is this Eugene Roller?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Judge Hogan. I'm the hearing officer for the Public Service Commission hearing today.
How are you today?
Not too bad. How are you?
Oh, indoors.
I have you on the list of people that would like to provide some testimony today. Is that correct?
Wonderful.
All right. Before you testify, I am required by law to advise you on the maximum penalty for perjury in the state of North Dakota. Perjury is a Class C felony punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Do you understand what perjury is?
Yes, I do.
And being advised on the potential penalties for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case today?
Yes, I do.
Can I get an address?
11533 53rd Street Southwest, New England, North Dakota. Zip code 58647.
And are you a landowner?
Yes, I am.
All right. Can you describe where the land you own is located?
Yes, I'm on the southern part of Stark County, kind of on the eastern or the western edge of the Brady Wind Farm.
Do you have any land subject to this project?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Go ahead and proceed with your testimony.
Oh, right now?
Yep.
Okay. I guess, I was up in Bowbells here last year, and I kind of spoke, and I was, telling the people up there, I said, these wind towers are not a big deal. I guess, something with props and wings, and I mean, my head's been up in the air since I've been a young boy. It's like, if it's got props and wings, I'm interested. So these things don't bother me a bit. I mean, there's a little bit of sound and a little bit of shadowing, but what I'm saying, I live right in them, and I don't know, I ain't died yet or had no side effects, but I mean, what it did for me and my family, just having the opportunity to have them on my land. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to have enough land. I mean, I got access like 800 acres. I own a section of land, so it ain't very much. I mean, it'd be a lot to some people, but that with the setbacks and everything, it is really hard to get, to just be able to have these things, how many hoops the companies have to jump through to, just set up a wind farm is just, I mean, it's beyond reasonable, some of the hoops they make them jump through with the wildlife and the nesting birds. And I could go on and on where they just have, I could say it's like almost a zero impact to the area here. Just everything's been positive. My family and I are going to benefit for the next, 50, 60 years on this. I mean, and it's kept my farm going here. Actually, this year, I lowered my rent or my rent on my land just to, you know, help out my renter. But you know, it comes down to property rights. What I, you know, what gives somebody living over the hill the right to dictate what I can do, how I can make money on my land? I mean, with the setbacks and everything, there's just no way you have any interference on anybody other's land, but yet these people can come in from 100 or 500 miles away and say, oh no, they're going to kick down and kill the birds and this and that. Well, they were up in Bobales, they're talking about, oh yeah, they got a fly line up there of geese and stuff. Well, you know, I've got pheasants around here quite a bit, and you know, a lot of game birds. I probably have more of a loss of them birds flying off from hitting my building, flying into my building or something around here, than off of them poles or running into the propellers. It's just, but where was I? I'm going off here a little bit. I'm sorry. But like I said, it is about landowners' rights. And there's so many people, just like, you know, I was saying, oh, that Stanley area. You get south of the Stanley area, it's all them oil wells up in there. I said, well, I could see, you know, 100 wind towers in there too. Well, you know, it makes you wonder how many people, you know, do have the land but absolutely no mineral rights. You know, there's a lot of oil out there, and I mean, we need a mixture of both. I mean, we can't do it with just wind power. I mean, we do need the coal. We have some of the cheapest power in the nation here, and kind of that. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, you know, as far as keeping our costs down. I mean, it used to be a lot cheaper till the oil came in, but that's I guess my opinion or speculation. I don't know. I guess, like I said, in my opinion, the same thing goes with these power lines. They're going in. I mean, you can look at it here from the air or wherever, and you see, you know, I know where the power plant's at, and then you see these lines just zigzagging or all around. Well, why is that? That's because there's some people that said, no, they don't want a transmission line on their property. And that, or they're getting greedy and says, well, we want more money than you want to pay us. Well, what, you know, it gets to the point where they can just, you know, loop around. Well, okay, they're actually costing us people, they're costing everybody money by this company not being able to have a straight line and cut their costs. I mean, all the costs that they can cut will go on to, you know, the private sector, I think, anyway. I don't know. I've done a lot of research, like, for instance, on NextEra and stuff. And it's a very good company. They're, you know, they came in, they've done a wonderful job. I mean, it's just, you don't even like say, no, they were here, except for the few extra roads we have here and the big turbines spinning there. But, you know, I still have as much wildlife around my place as I ever have. So I see no impact. Besides visibility, and like I say, maybe a little bit of noise and a little bit of shadowing, but that's neither here nor there. Nothing's going to hurt you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Roller. I'm going to see if there's any questions for you. Ms. Fury, do you have any questions?
No questions, Your Honor. Thank you for your comments.
Mr. Schmidt, do you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you.
Mr. Lean, do you have any questions?
No questions, Your Honor.
Commissioner Fedorchek, do you have any questions?
I don't. Thank you, Mr. Roller. We appreciate your taking the time to offer us your thoughts and experiences.
Well, thank you very much, Julie. I appreciate being asked to talk about this. I said I didn't quite as go in depth as I, you know, did up in Bobales there. I went a little further this time on our property rights and all that. I hope you understand.
Commissioner Karashis, do you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you. appreciate your comments.
Commissioner Chrisman, do you have any questions?
Your Honor. Mr. Roller, on a clear night, about how many turbines can you see the lights from your home?
Well, I'll tell you what, they just started this project with the radar detection. Now, if there's no airplanes coming over, I can see like three out of my bedroom window, is it? And they're just basically three to the south. But in the daytime, I can maybe see 30.
So the radar light program is working well for you? It's they're off most of the time, would you say?
Well, as of right now, I go to bed kind of early, so. But I haven't really been noticing them off as much as I thought they would be off. You know, it's like if I get up in the middle of the night or something, or I know it's it's pretty dark out here. I'd say there's a few going, and then we got other towers that are blinking around here also. But
would you say that system is working correctly, or are they on most of the time?
Like I said, from what I'm looking, they're on a lot of the time, but I have noticed them that they were off. Now, like I say, if they're what they're seeing or how far they say they're 5 miles off, well, by golly, if an airplane's flying 5 miles overhead and it, these airplanes, we're probably not even seeing them and they're triggering these towers. So I don't, know exactly how that radar works, but,
I just asked because it's something we're, I was still hoping to perfect. I think we were one of the first agencies in the nation to start requiring this large scale, and it started when Commissioner Fedorchak became aware of the technology. So just checking in to see how it's working. Thank you for your time today.
Hey, you betcha. Appreciate having the opportunity.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you guys for all your wonderful work too.
Thank you, Mr. Roller.
Alrighty.
Goodbye.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. The next name I have is Ivan Harder, and we had one other person call in that'd like to provide testimony. So after Mr. Harder is Pat Ely.
Hello.
Hi, is this Ivan Harder?
It is.
Hi, this is Judge Hogan. I'm the hearing officer for the Public Service Commission hearing today.
You're running a nice hearing, and I've been watching the whole thing on the computer and listening to many people.
Great. It's my understanding you want to provide some testimony today?
I do.
All right. Well, if you've been listening, before you testify, I do have to advise you on the maximum penalties for perjury in the state of North Dakota. Perjury is a Class C felony, punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Do you understand what perjury is?
I do.
And being advised on the penalties of perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case? Thank you. Can I get an address?
It's Ivan Harder, likely try harder. I am out of state.
All right. What's your address?
At Mountain Lake, Minnesota. That's the southwest corner of Minnesota. My Wyndham, county seat is Wyndham. My county is Cottonwood. I'm 82 years old, read out my land. Have a half section there, and our land is selling right at about $10,000 an acre. I am surrounded by wind towers everywhere. It started with Geronimo, my cousin in Edina, Minnesota, Noel Ron, started that program. Literally, Waddell, Big Bend, and then you move on west to Buffalo Ridge. I heard them talk about Buffalo Ridge. They're all over the place. Now, a couple of things here I wish your commissioners would make notes of.
Mr. Harder, can I interrupt you for a second?
My what?
Can I interrupt you for a minute?
Yes.
Do you have a address where you get mail?
Yes.
What's your address?
Post Office Box 369, Mountain Lake, Minnesota.
All right. And do you own any land that's part of this project?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
I will tell you in a little bit why I'm calling, but are any of the commissioners, decision makers, are any of them farmers?
Yes.
Then they certainly know what the farm economy is like right now. And what I'm seeing in my area is the people that have got the wind towers, and some of them are 3 megawatt. Basically, they're one of them is worth more than a quarter, 106 acres of land. Right at about $3 million, the ones they're putting up around me. They're getting $12,000 a year, 30 years, but it's revisited at the end of 20. Are you still with me?
Yep. Are you referring to land around where you reside in Minnesota?
Yes.
Okay.
What is the only people that are buying new $400,000 and $500,000 combines? The only people that are putting up new hog barns, building new houses in my area, are those that have wind energy. In other words, it offers you diversification. It's environmentally friendly. It's carbon-free, wind and solar. And it's very profitable if you're lucky enough, and I'm not one of them. I have nephews that have them that just love them. We have pheasants, many wild turkeys. We used to have to go to Mankato, 50 miles away, to see deer at the park. Now I've got wild deer all over. It has not affected our wildlife at all. Now, the reason I called in and know about your area and Burke and about this wind energy program with New Era is that a very good friend of mine, Pat Kinsella, sold his house in Duluth, Minnesota, saw the opportunity when the oil boom was booming, moved out there to Columbus, North Dakota, and spent a fortune putting up 2 4-unit apartments, leased them to Global Oil. They're 2-bedroom, 2-bath, kitchens and everything, just gorgeous. But now the boom and bust. The bust shows up and Global leaves. He has absolutely kept those units in perfect condition. But this is the problem when you are in an area. I'm in the same kind of an area. I call it the no people disease. Our population keeps going down each year. Here is something that will bring in new business, as they said, 5 to 7 people to service these wind generators that the New Era wants to put up. I think it's wonderful. So that's just basically what I'm saying and why I'm calling in. But tell them, please, opportunity is knocking. But you've got to open the door. Don't let something like this go by. It's just one other economic plus if you own some land or live in that area. And what about the $30 million in taxes? Same thing in my area. What they are doing for our schools, our 4-H, our FFA. It's wonderful. Questions?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Harder. Ms. Fury, did you have any questions?
No, Your Honor, I don't. Thank you.
Mr. Schmidt, do you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you.
Mr. Lean, do you have any questions?
No questions, Your Honor.
Commissioner Fedorchuk, do you have any questions?
I don't. Thank you, Mr. Harder, for taking time to give us some of your thoughts.
Commissioner Crosius, do you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you, Ivan.
Commissioner Chrisman, do you have any questions?
No thanks, Judge, but thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling in and participating, Mr. Harder.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. Bye. All right. We have one more person to call, Pat Ely. Hello?
This is Pat. Leave a message. I'll get back to you.
Oh. Thanks. Do you want to try one more time? Bye.
Call is being connected.
Hey, this is Pat. Leave a message. I'll get back to you. Thanks.
All right. We can't get a hold of Mr. Ely, so if you're listening, okay, we're going to try him one more time. Hi, is this Pat Ely?
It sure is.
Hi, this is Judge Hogan. I'm the hearing officer for the Public Service Commission hearing.
Yep.
And it's my understanding you want to provide some public testimony today?
Yeah.
All right. Before you testify, I am required by law to advise you on the maximum penalty for perjury. In North Dakota, perjury is a Class C felony punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Do you understand what perjury is?
Yes.
And being advised on the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this case today?
Yes.
Can I get an address?
My address is 9817 Highway 5, Columbus, North Dakota.
And are you a landowner?
Yes, I am.
And where is your land located?
We own quite a few quarters in Burke County. We own in Keller Township, Section 10, 162-94, 15, 162-94, 21, 162-94, 3, 162-94. And 3-161-93, and I'm in the tractor right now, actually. And I just counted on my phone, but we farm roughly 34 quarters of land within 3 miles of the wind tower. map of where they're going.
Do you have any land that's within the proposed wind project or the transmission line?
No, we don't own any land. And then them ones I told you we own, but the 34 that's included in that is stuff we rent that is also outside the wind tower project. And I think 3/4 that we rent that are inside the project.
All right. Okay, go ahead and proceed with your testimony.
Yeah, I was just saying something I haven't heard all day, but with all this land we farm around there, it's our right not to, we're against wind towers, not to farm or to have them. But if I want to, you know, seed all canola this year around the wind tower farm outside of it, and I want to have all my fungicide put on, I'm not going to be able to have a plane spray around all these towers that are going to be 480 feet high or something like that. I'm not sure on that. But I just wanted to say why I don't have the same rights as somebody north of Columbus or Bull Bells or Portal or anything like that. And I didn't even sign up for them or have anything to do with them. And just a little overview of our farm. My dad and mom both grew up here. My dad's been farming in the county, in Burke County, since 1970 after his dad died. And I've been farming my whole life here. And I have... 3 kids, and my wife is a nurse up in Crosby, and we're planning on being there our whole life and farming around here our whole life. And I just wanted to say that about why I'm not having the same rights as other people that own land that choose not to have wind towers, as far as that. And also about the water situation is... you know, all these roads are going in east and west. I'm actually just 1 mile in the field right now where the wind towers are going. And a lot of these hills around here with GPS, we have everything documented with RTK auto steer, the most accurate auto steer, altitude and everything. And most of the roll angles around the rolling hills out here that we farm were just a mile from the wind tower. Are up to 8% grade on that. And these wind tower companies are going to be putting in new roads. They're going to be, you know, all over the place. It sounds like earlier today when I was talking, they want to do this thing real fast. So it's going to be major amount of equipment, major amount of weight on all the roads and all the prairie trails. And I was just concerned about that. And I don't think it's good for everybody else who's not going to sign up for the wind to have all our roads damaged. And they're going to have to go through roads that County Road 6 and County Road 1 to get these towers in, or whatever the county road they choose to go on. It's only access in and out of most of them. And it's a big pipeline for everybody that lives in the area. And stuff like that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ely. Ms. Fury, do you have any questions?
Just one question, Your Honor. Mr. Ely, have you reached out to Northern Divide Wind to coordinate on crop spraying?
I have not. The only time I've reached out to them is... 2 years ago or 3 years ago, they drove through all our fields that were unharvested and didn't tell the landowner, stuff we rent, didn't tell the landowner or us that they were doing it. And so I contacted them about that for damages. And it took a long time, but they finally paid us for damages. And then just recently, I think it was... off the top of my head, during deer season. I think it was in November, in the middle of November, south of Columbus, they drove in our fields again. And I contacted one person about it at the wind tower, and they haven't got back to me yet about paying for damages. But that's the only contact I've had with them.
Have you been to any of the CUP meetings in Burke County regarding the project?
I have not, no.
Okay. And so I guess just so that you're aware, if you do have concerns about crop spraying and facilitating and coordinating that, you can reach out to NextEra, and they're more than willing to discuss that with you regarding timing and options that they can provide with respect to their turbines.
Yeah, I contacted our spray plane guy in Kenmare, and he said that he needed a certain amount miles to spray by him, and he, you know, with the liability and everything like that, it had to be a certain distance, loaded, stuff like that.
Well, I know he's not on the line today, but I would also encourage him to reach out to NextEra and discuss the issue with them. Thank you for your comments.
Yep, thank you.
Mr. Schmidt, do you have any questions?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Mr. Lean, do you have any questions?
No questions, Your Honor.
Commissioner Fedorchak, do you have any questions?
I don't, but thank you, Pat, for taking time to participate today.
Commissioner Crosius, do you have any questions?
No questions. Well, just a comment. I appreciate what you said, Mr. Ely. And did you indicate the company has not gotten back to you about the incident that happened during deer season?
Yep. Yeah, I have the guy's name, too. I just don't have it in front of me. I'm in the field right now, so I don't get very good service here, so I was calling in and I couldn't get you and called in again, so I don't get very good where I was.
Well, I hope you're not parked on or stopped right now and we're not holding you up, but I appreciate your comments and the company representatives. I would certainly hope you would get back to Mr. Ely on the issue he described.
Yep.
Commissioner Chrisman, did you have any questions?
Can I get the spelling of your last name?
E-L-Y.
And Pat, about how many times a year do you apply chemical aerially, you know, normally?
Normally, if we, have a good crop coming and it's not a drought or, you know, get a bunch of hail or anything like that, we do it once. Which would be fungicide.
Okay. Thank you for your time today. Good luck with the planting.
Yep.
Thank you for participating today, Mr. Ely. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye. All right, if we have anybody listening on the public line that would like to provide any comments, we are able to unmute you. All you have to do is press *9, which will be a virtual hand raise, and let us know that you would like to provide comments. So while you're thinking about that, let's talk about some housekeeping matters, and then we'll come back and see if there's anybody else that wants to comment. Ms. Fury, do you anticipate any late filed exhibits?
have anything noted, Your Honor.
Okay. What about you, Mr. Schmidt? I don't have anything noted either.
I don't have any late filed exhibits noted. I think the only thing would be, since we're holding the record open for public testimony for 10 days and the company has an opportunity to respond, that we would not necessarily consider them late filed exhibits, but potentially exhibits for the hearing. If we wanted to describe them as late filed exhibits, I'd be okay with that too.
And do we want to set a deadline for that, or do you want to discuss a deadline after you see the comments that come in?
I think we'll probably have to discuss a deadline after we see the comments that come in. Without knowing what it's going to be, obviously the company needs a fair opportunity to respond to the extent they deem it necessary, and I think that deadline will probably be dictated based on what we receive.
So are the parties willing to chat about a deadline after on April 27th and then just let me know what the agreed upon deadline is?
I'm fine with that.
All right. Does that work for you, Ms. Fury?
Yes, that's fine, Your Honor.
All right. And Ms. Fury, is Northern Divide Wind planning to prepare proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, and an order?
Yes, we are, Your Honor.
All right. And when you guys discuss a deadline for providing any response to the written testimony, maybe you want to discuss a deadline for submitting the proposed findings as well. Does that work?
Yes.
All right. Yes. Is that okay with you, Mr. Schmidt?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Your Honor?
Yes. Go ahead, Mr. Prannis.
Question about two items. One, we would be happy to provide exhibits documenting the goals that NextEra is committed to on wind projects in Minnesota. I know that was an issue that was discussed in the testimony. I think Mr. Harrington wasn't able to recall those. We can provide that documentation in late filed exhibits if the commission pleases. And the other item is, I don't know what the proper procedure is, if we have any comments or revisions to the proposed findings of fact. And in the past, we've just submitted them, but we haven't been clear on what the process is.
All right. Mr. Prannis, would you be able to submit that late filed exhibit within the April 21st deadline for written comments?
Certainly.
Okay.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. And regarding the second issue, Mr. Schmidt, do you have an opinion on how to handle that?
I guess if the intervener wants to submit proposed findings, they're welcome to do so. It would just fall on the same deadline as the company would have for their proposed findings.
Is that sufficient, Mr. Prannis?
Certainly. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Are there any other housekeeping matters that we need to chat about, Mr. Schmidt?
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
All right. Ms. Fury?
Yeah.
I have nothing additional, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Prannis, did you have anything else?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to check if there's anybody else. I'm being told we do not have anybody else wanting to provide public testimony, so I think we can move to closing remarks. Commissioner,
Your Honor,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
On the housekeeping, I believe that Mr. Cameron was going to get back to us on the impacts of real excessive wind and the braking or stopping action that would be required.
Can they include that in their response to any of the written testimony, Commissioner?
Sure.
All right. Is that work for you, Ms. Fury?
Yes, it does.
All right. Is there anything else? I don't want to rush any of the housekeeping matters. All right. Hearing none, Commissioner Fedorchak, would you like to make any closing remarks?
Just thank you to everybody. I think this went pretty well. It seems like everybody who wanted to spoke. I guess we'll hear if there were any problems, but I do want to just remind anybody who's listening
that there is still the opportunity to submit written testimony. So take advantage of that if you feel like you need to be heard yet. So thank you, everybody. I thought it was productive. If not, a kind of long day, but we still got through it all. Appreciate everybody's attention. Thank you.
Commissioner Crotchis, did you want to make any closing remarks?
I would just echo the same thoughts. Thank you, everyone.
Commissioner Christman, did you have any closing remarks?
Same thing. Thank you, everyone, for your patience and allowing us to work through this remotely so that everyone can be safe.
All right. Well, thank you all. We have reached the end of our hearing today for today. So I will note for the record that it is 7:23 p.m. and that will conclude the hearing for Public Service Commission cases PU-19-376 and PU-19-377 on the application of Northern Divide Wind LLC. Thank you.